You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham, Dave Tindall with you. We've got the Joburg Open and the Sony Open on the horizon this week. But first of all, as we always do, let's reflect on what happened last week. And a big week for Mr. Grenham as far as the Golf Podcast was concerned. Jordan Spieth romping to success in the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, winning by a mile from Patrick Reed in second. Mike, you put him up confidently on the podcast last week and duly rewarded.
Yeah, it was nice, Dave, wasn't it? It was nice to get. He wasn't the biggest price in the world, let's be honest, was he, at 5-1? But I thought it was a big price for that event. You know, I really did think there's a lot of value in it, as we said last week. So, yeah, great start, really, because a good old bet on it. And hopefully a few people followed in. He's some player, isn't he? He really is. And I have to say, I think he was, like last week, I think he was underestimated for that event. He's, you know, his record's now matching Tiger's. Would Tiger have been 5-1 in a 30-runner field where he'd been second the time before and in great form? He just wouldn't have, would he? So he's moving the dial, so to speak. He may well be better than we think, even, I suspect.
Just quickly on that one, or do you want to formally introduce me? Say hello. Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hello. We've got a market. I'll run this one past you, Mike. We've got a market Jordan Spieth to be top 10 in all four majors.
Really?
7-1.
Really? That's not a bad price, is it? He nearly won all four last year.
When I clicked on it, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be 7-1. That's
no good for me or Dave, who can't bet with William Hill, but Dave Tindall, you could, couldn't you? So
it's not bad, is it?
It's a big price.
Yeah, it could be a big price. And he led the field in strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained putting last week. If you do that, you're not going to be far away from winning an event, are you? And he was just won by 8 shots in the end. And I've continually questioned on this podcast in the past as well, Mike, whether he can sustain his putting prowess. But he shows few signs of letting up. And to do that on his first start of the season was incredible, really. To be that sharp on your seasonal debut, it was some performance.
Yeah, he's just an incredible putter, isn't he? And as long as that stays sound, he's going to be very hard to beat. I have to say, I always had a Rory McIlroy ahead of him in my own head as being a slightly better player, but it's getting very, very close. And I mean, may even be, I don't know, he's just, that putting makes a massive difference, doesn't it? It saves for a lot of, you can make a birdie's out of nothing. Some of the whole holes that he ends up birding, you think he's no chance of birding until that ball goes in the hole, you know, and it's a nice talent to have.
Not only the putting as well, I think the mental side of the game.
So strong mentally, isn't he? I'm going to say I think he'll be number one at the end of the year as well now. That's my gut feeling. I just, when I watched that tournament, he battered them, didn't he? He won by 8 in the end. Mm. Some good players playing well, and they were nowhere near, were they, really?
We've been talking about a big three for so long as well, Dave. Day, Spieth, McIlroy. I wonder when we've got to recalibrate and think that maybe this guy can, and it's only one event so far.
Yeah, it is only one event, and Rory hasn't had a chance to sort of respond yet.
No.
But I know what you mean. It's getting more. Rory sometimes goes great and then dips and great, but Spieth just seems to be on an upward curve. It doesn't seem to be stopping.
Exactly. It's going to be fascinating anyway, one way or the other, isn't it? So
can't wait to see them all together in a major.
Nice to see him win and win tips, so it was good.
Yeah. In South Africa, the promising Brandon Stone got his first European Tour win, Dave, in the South African Open.
Yeah, he's a good player. There's quite a big noise about him a few years ago, and then at the back end of last year, I think he won the Cape Town Open on the Sunshine Tour. That was his first pro win, and yeah, he delivered again nicely. Well, he had a wobble in the final round, but I think he was something like 50-1 last week, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be round about one, that price. One of these young South Africans who really kicks on, so one to keep an eye on.
We've got another South African event for bettors to get their teeth stuck into first up this week. It's the Joburg Open, and Jaco van Zyl is the 11-1 favourite here with William Hill. Tyrell Hatton is 22-1. Brandon Stone, Ricardo Gouvier, Richard Sterney, Trevor Fisher Jr., all 25s. It's 28-1 David Howell and George Kutsaya, and 33-1 and bigger the remainder. A very similar cast to last week's tournament as well. Maybe slightly weaker this event, Mr. Tindall, with the absence of Brandon Grace and Andy Sullivan. I must admit, these South African events fail to whet my appetite from a betting perspective. Maybe it's because I find it hard to trust the stats that the European Tour churn out when comparing it to the PGA Tour. No strokes gained stats.
Yeah.
Which can affect your thinking on occasion, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of, with this one, you've got to go with what you do know, kind of thing. I mean, do you want me to go with the first tip?
Just before we do that, 10th edition of the Joburg Open. Yes. You've written your piece on Roto World Golf on this event. Give us a little bit of indication about the course, because at least we've got a bit of continuity here.
Yeah, so there's two courses, isn't there? The East and the West. And then they play, it's kind of like Torrey Pines, isn't it? They have an easier course over the first 2 days, and then they play the harder one on the weekend.
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of time for the stagger to unwind, and obviously, in your ideal scenario, the players will be playing. I think it's the harder East, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
They'll get a good score on the harder East and then make hay the next day. Yeah, it's got a lot of big name winners. The sort of South Africa versus the rest count is 6-3, so you often do get a home winner in this event. I think greens in regulation is a stat that I seem to have noticed seems to be quite strong for this tournament, and that's going to affect my thinking on it.
Mike, have you had a bet in this event?
I haven't, Dave. No, I'm not a massive fan of these South African events, in truth, in terms of having a bet myself, so then I won't put up a tip. I'll watch it and be interested in it, but I don't think I'll be betting on it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got a couple that I'm very interested in this week, but no official selection. And I presume you have, so I'll let you lead us off, Dave.
Yeah, I put him up last week.
He has a bet on everything, doesn't he?
Never stops, does he? Never stops.
I put him up last week at at 50s, and he was 8th, so a little slightly frustrating. He was 4th at one point in the final round. He didn't do anything wrong. People just came past him. So Trevor Fisher Jr., you knew that.
Back to the well.
Yeah, back to the well for the Fisher. It's basically, as I said, go on what you do. Now, he's virtually up there every time in these South African events. Last 6 events on his home soil, he's been in the top 25 in 5 of them. So you're almost guaranteed a run from him of some sort. And particularly in this event, I think, he was 3rd in 2012. And then in 2013, he was the 54-hole leader. Now, back then, he was a bit of a, you know, you couldn't really trust him. But he's since won, hasn't he? Since won the Africa Open last year.
Yeah.
That kind of kicks him over the line for me in terms of having a bet. I think he knows he can win one of these. I mean, it's virtually, I mean, there's no star name, is there, in it?
So not really.
He's probably thinking this is a slightly glorified Sunshine Tour event.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Just with,
he's thinking that because that he's correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got people like Hatton and Howell, and there's a few Europeans, but they're kind of like middleweights, aren't they?
It's not a lot better than it.
No.
It's better, but it's not a lot better.
So with the greens in reg factor, he was 8th in South Africa in that category. Shot 66-70 on the weekend, so he played his best golf over the final 2 rounds. Yes, he's not 50s anymore, he's 25s, and you can argue that what
but without Grace and Sullivan in the field.
And you know, and he's got good course form. I just think he could easily get into the top 5, and you think that was pretty easy.
Okay.
There are a couple that did catch my eye. I was more tempted to have a bet this week in this Joburg Open than I was in the South African Open last week.
What are they then, Dave?
Richard Sterney.
Yeah, I like Richard Sterney
because you're talking about quality in this field.
Won here a couple of times, hasn't he?
Yeah, won here a couple of times, and he is the he's not top class, but he's a quality name in this field.
Agreed.
So I think 25-1's fair on Richard Sterney, definitely.
I nearly said he's the best player in the field at his best, but then I realised that Ernie Els is playing, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
66, although his best probably isn't. But, you know, Sterney is a quality player, isn't he? And 25s could look big.
Yeah, Ernie Els has just gone to absolute pieces with the putter, hasn't he?
He has.
So I think Sterney 25s could look big with his course form. I think he was probably happy with what was a pipe opener last week as well, finished midfield, didn't he? Made the cut in South Africa, finished midfield. I think he'll be happy with that going here. Knows this player so well. Two-time winner, 25's fair enough for me. And the other one was Keith Horn at 40-1.
Yeah, I looked at him, yeah.
Yeah, lesser light.
He's just got obvious course just, and current form.
Precisely, just looked solid. Last week, yeah, he finished fourth in the South African Open, fifth in a low-grade event the week before that. And he's won 8 times on the Sunshine Tour, and he's finished second and sixth here in the last 5 years. So Keith Horn looks solid to me at 40s, and Richard Sterney is one of the class acts in the field at 25s.
Yeah, the kind of weird sort of wildcard one is that Christian Bezuidenhout. I don't know if I've pronounced that anywhere near right.
I think you've got close.
Better than I could have.
I think he went off at 250s last week, and he came, was it third?
Yeah.
And a few people have picked up on him because he got banned as an amateur, I think, for kind of steroid use, but it was for treating a stammer, I think.
Okay.
It was slightly unusual.
I've not read that.
Yeah, slightly unusual reasoning. But it had this sort of really big amateur career that was stalled by that. But people had noted him, and, you know, he was on the radar last week. I think because he had won at that course, amateur events, last week's course. But the fact that he's just done that, it could, that 40s could look big, or it could look like, oh, we've been sold sort of
fool's gold.
Fool's gold, exactly. But I think he could be really good, actually. For 40-1, is just worth mentioning him anyway, in case people wonder earth he is.
I have to mention someone, a new peak, David, seen who I brought up on the internet. Just look at Matteo Manassero, 50-1 of it in this event. What is going on? He's
we've got to start thinking he's not coming back, though, haven't we?
It's getting
now.
Worrying, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's young enough, mind you, isn't he?
I know he is, but
he's 22, so
you can't write him off yet.
No,
surely.
No, I'm not writing him off, but yeah, I mean, I've been convinced. I know Mike's been convinced that the guy is definitely going to come back.
But
it's starting. The doubts are creeping in now,
yeah,
aren't they?
He might come back, but it might not be to where we thought it was going to be. You know, he might just have to be a mid-range player when he looked as though he was going to be a top player. 150-1 in this event, Matteo Manassero. His form has been dreadful, but who knows? First run of the season, he might have found gold dust over the winter months.
I hope he has, because it's wonderful watching him wedge play and putting.
Brilliant. So, yeah, sign of the times.
That's the Joburg Open, this event on the European Tour, co-sanctioned this week, 4:30 a.m. for your pre-tournament bets. Betting play throughout here with William Hill, that's on Thursday. And at Thursday night, later start time for the Sony Open, which is the second leg of the Hawaiian Swing. And Jimmy Walker is going for the three-peat at Wailea this week. Last person to land three straight on the PGA Tour was Steve Stricker. That was back in the John Deere. He completed the hat-trick back in 2011. And Jimmy Walker heads the betting here with William Hill as well. 14-1, Jimmy Walker. Adam Scott is 20s. Kevin Kisner, also 20-1. Matt Kuchar is 20s. Brant Snedeker, 22s. Justin Thomas and Zach Johnson, both 25s. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. There's little doubt, Mike, that Wailea is an easy track to conquer for these players. Par 70, measuring just over 7,000 yards. And as noted in Rob Bolton's power rankings on the PGA Tour website, it's played as the second easiest par 70 on the schedule behind Sedgefield each of the last 2 years. So if the wind doesn't blow, they can take this place apart.
Yeah, 23 under last year, 24 under in 2013, 17 under 2014. So you've got to get your birdies, haven't you? You've got to score very low. So you really need to be averaging nearly 6 under around to win this. So it takes some, you know, you've got to score, you've got to roll the putts well, haven't you? And that's what the main thing is. I don't think driving distance is massively important. I don't think accuracy is. Greens in regulation are helpful enough, but they always are, because if you get them on the green, then you're putting out, you're rather than chipping. You just got to score. Yeah, real shoot the lights out event, isn't it?
It is playing Kapalua beneficial? Does it come into your thinking?
No, but I think it is. It helps. Certainly the record of
11 and 17. Yeah, it's played the week before.
So that's certainly above the odds, isn't it? So it seems to be a benefit, but it hasn't come into my thinking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
By definition, by playing the week before, it means you're a good player generally, doesn't it?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah, you've won the previous year, yeah.
That's the way I've mentioned it on previous podcasts. That's the way I always think of it. You because you played last week, you're generally towards the head of the betting for this week's tournament as well.
If I was between two players and one of them had played last week and the other one hadn't, it probably would help me pick him, but I wasn't in that situation.
It'd be like a tiebreaker, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's all-encompassing, but it's certainly not a downside to play last week. It's a benefit, if anything.
Two picks for me.
Just one for me.
Okay.
Just one.
spreading.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you lead us off.
I'm going with the 2013 winner of this, Russell Henley.
I am as well.
Yeah, I just think this is a course that's tailor-made for him, really. As winning on your first ever tour event, as he did here, is a kind of a remarkable performance. He's bang in form. Back end of 2015, the calendar year, 10th in the Shriners and 6th in the RSM. Had a little break now, but great putter. He's top 10 for putting on tour last year. Birdies, top 30 for that. Just a kind of player who plays well at the same courses, I think. Loves this place, so I think 33s in this field is a very decent price.
No, I can't really add much to that. He does need to start more quickly than he started the last couple of years, because he's had two over par rounds in his first round here at Wylie the last couple of occasions.
Yeah,
but
which is that is not going to get
well,
you.
Well, it kills
the job
you,
done.
Kills you, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
No,
fair
at
point.
This venue. So hopefully he'll be firing on all cylinders to start off. But very impressed with him. We were all on him for the PGA Championship, and he played well,
didn't
back
he?
In the last year, and followed that up with those two performances, as you've mentioned. And I think I might continue to back Henley at this event year in, year out, because of how impressive he was in 2013. Yeah. He was just absolutely sensational, and if you can get anywhere close to that number that he posted that year, 24 under par, I think he'll go close. And 33-1 Henley, my first pick as well here, point each way.
Yeah, it's definitely a course, isn't it? I always want to say it in a joy. Why Eiley? It's definitely a course that course form stands up. I think I was looking, Gerry Kelly and Charles Howley, you're never back to win a tournament, would you? You've got 8 top 10s each.
They've been sensational here, haven't they?
So you've got the same names cropping up again and again, which is absolutely against my argument here, because I'm putting up someone playing it for the first time.
Right, okay.
But there is logic to this.
Is there?
bear with me, listeners.
We're struggling to see it.
It's a certain type of course, isn't it, this? And I think Steve Rawlins linked it to El Chameleon, the OHL Classic, the Mexico one.
Yeah.
Hilton Head has been mentioned, the Seaside Course, the whatever that is now, the RSM.
Yeah.
But two of those, El Chameleon and Hilton Head, well, Graham McDowell has won on both of those courses. You know, not just done well, he's actually won on both of those courses. Obviously, he also won the US Open by the sea at Pebble Beach. I just think he's a very good player on certain type of courses. Why we've got him at
40... Graham McDowell is your pick.
Yeah, Graham McDowell. Right, why we've got him at 40-1 is because he was a bit rubbish last week. I think it was 29th or 32, which sounds terrible, doesn't it? But he started with a 75 and then, you know, your sort of adrenaline's gone a bit. He didn't do an awful lot wrong. He had a bogey-free second round. But I don't think that course doesn't play to his strengths at all last week, whereas Wiley, I think, should really be up his street. So I think 40-1. I think if he'd played half decent last week, he'd be 25s.
Okay.
So I think 40s. I think he pops up on certain type of courses. And it's only, I mean, he won it at El Chameleon only in, what, mid-November?
Oh, yeah.
It was his
finish to the season that saved his season, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he was third at the Seaside Course the very next week. So two very recent examples of him playing well on this type of course.
Okay.
And he's a proven winner, so 40-1 I thought looked fair.
Mike, your second selection?
Can you copy my second selection?
No, I'm not copying
can't
that
even
one.
Say it.
I only wanted your first one
all right,
this
okay.
week.
Ryan Palmer is my second pick. Another former champion here. He won here in 2010. Then a couple of... three moderate years where he didn't really play very well in the event, but the last couple of years much better again, 8th and 17th. Finished it again, another one who finished the year well with a 16th in the Shriners, then took a break. His father died in a car crash in August of last year, Brian Palmer, so it's quite a tumultuous end to the season for him. But to be fair to him, in the 5 events he played after that, he had 3 top 25s, including a 6 in the Barclays about the week or so after his father died in the crash. So
He's had quite a break, so he could easily be rusty and he could easily bomb out here. I have to accept that, but he really has shown some great form here at Wylie. So I like the fact that when he's on form, he's a very good putter. He's top 10 for birdie average in 2014. He may need the run, but I looked at his Twitter and he's been practicing a bit from what I can work out. So I'm hoping that after the break he's chomping at the bit to get going again. And certainly this is an event that suits him. And at 50s, I think he's well worth a go.
Very good. Ryan Palmer, 50-1 for Mike's second selection. I'm going with Mark Leishman as my second pick at 33s. Basically, I've gone for a couple of players in Henley and Leishman. I expect to have big years. And he said publicly that he's gained a lot of perspective after nearly losing his wife early last year. And it showed in the way he's played subsequently. He was involved in the playoff for the Open Championship, went on to win the Nedbank Challenge, and we've already talked about that event being a catalyst for future success. And Leishman has such a solid game, I've actually contemplated backing him for the Masters already. He's got good form at Augusta. He's 80-1 for the Masters.
He's which played I think well there before, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, which I think is fair. He's played here six times, made the cut on all six occasions, finished ninth in 2013, fifth in 2014. Got a very good chance this week, in my opinion, Leishman. The only stumbling block is he's got new equipment, so it's impossible to know how he's adapted to playing his moved from Titleist to Callaway.
Since Nedbank.
I don't know whether he slipped a few clubs in at Nedbank or not, but that wasn't reported, so I can only assume that he played with Titleist at Nedbank. So he's moved to Callaway now, which is a concern, admittedly.
Yeah, we mentioned that last week with Brooks Koepka, and he didn't make, you know...
He played well, didn't he?
He played fantastically, you know, well. But then Zach Johnson, who changed, didn't. So I suppose you can look at it from...
Your money.
You pay your money and take your chance. So hopefully it won't affect him. And I like Leishman at 33-1 as my second selection here. Marginally prefer Henley, but I'll play them both a point each way. 33-1 Leishman and Henley. Honourable mentions then, chaps.
Yeah, I think Leishman's got a big chance, Dave. Harris English has got some good form here, obviously. Chris Kirk... He's someone who catches my eye at 40s. He was very... He'd be the nearest to being picked, Kirk, after the two that I have picked. And then a couple of bombers that... These aren't necessarily a bomber's course, but Scott Piercy, when he gets going, he can go low, and so can Gary Woodland. I'm expecting him to have a much better year this year. I just think he's got a lot of ability, and wouldn't be surprised if he plays reasonable this week.
Okay. Any you want to mention, Dave?
Yeah, I was close to putting up Peter Malnati, but he's 66 with us, so that's just a bit too short. He was 6 last week in the Hyundai. You can say that in a Geordie accent as well. I'll spare you this time. And he, at back end of last season, he obviously won, and he was a 10. So you look at his last four events, he's got a win, a 6, and a 10th. I mean, that's excellent form, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought he'd be even less, actually. I thought it'd be... Around this price, 66. I mean, I'm close to putting him up at that price.
Yeah, I was as well. He was one of two for me, Peter Malnati.
Because he's played in this event before, which
and
is
he
a
puts
bit
so
of a
well.
Bonus. Yeah, he's a great putter. He was tied 38th in his one go here last year, but that's money in the bank for me. I think that's a good... You know, he's had a look at it, and that was before we really knew who he was, so...
Yeah.
I mean, and he did say last week he's disappointed. He said, I'm disappointed I didn't get the job done. When you're thinking, he might have said, "Wow, I was 6 in this," you know. So I think he's got.
I don't think he should be disappointed about not getting the job done last week.
I like his attitude. He's just one of these young...
Sounds like he's slightly delusional.
Peter Malnati, which is... It sounds like he's a player who, you know, he's not setting the bar anywhere.
And, yeah.
I think he might, you know, really kick on. Who knows? Certainly for now, anyway. Over the last few months, form. Why not? You know, keep playing him.
Yeah, I agree. And the other one that I quite liked, Jason Duffner, I think is going to come back this season.
Do you know what? I've been watching him quietly. I was keeping him on my side, to be honest, because I don't think he's ready yet. But
yeah,
it's just funny that I just look at him and just looks a bit forlorn.
Yeah, I think he did. But
always looked forlorn, didn't he? To be
but
fair.
So he looked forlorn, stroke sort of like
because he lost all the weight. Do you think
comedy.
He looked drawn now?
Yeah, he just looks like you know. Some people don't look that great when they've lost weight.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's probably one of them. But I think his form. I think he's coming back. Yeah, you know, he won the Templeton Shootout with Brant Snedeker. And I can see I'm not saying he's going to have a glorious season, but I can see him maybe winning an event this year.
Top
definitely.
10 last time out, wasn't he? So he's starting to the figures are starting to back that up, aren't they?
Definitely.
I agree. This wouldn't be the place where I would back him, but he's definitely on my mind. I agree.
Yeah, he's never
more evidence required, probably.
Yeah, he's never pulled up any trees here either. And if it is a putting contest,
hasn't got the strength anymore. He's lost all that weight.
Yeah,
it's not putting contests out for him, are they?
No, you wouldn't think so.
But if he gets his game together, he could be interesting again for sure.
Yeah, he's 66-1 in the betting. Any comments on the market leaders? Because we've navigated away from the top end of the market, really.
Well, Jimmy Walker going for his three-peat, David.
Yeah. J-Dub going for the three-peat.
I think we like that. Adam Scott, what do you rank to him?
Well, not a new putter, yeah.
Damn you, Adam Scott.
He's got a good record in this event, but can he win straight away under that final round pressure with a putter?
Not for me anyway, yeah. No.
Brant Snedeker was closest for me at the top end of the betting at 22-1. He, yeah, as I mentioned, won that Templeton, played really well last week.
Yeah, he's missed two cuts out of two here, which is a bit off-putting.
Yeah, it is.
It looks like a good setup for him, though, doesn't it, Snedeker? I mean, where you can hit it all over the place, really. Find a lot of greens in regulation, strong iron play, and put well. I think Snedeker's he could make it win number eight this week, I think.
I don't like Walker. I just think people don't win three events in a row, the same event, do they, unless they're ridiculously good.
Doesn't happen often, does it?
Yeah, I think he's still a bit hit and miss at the minute.
Yeah, he's what was his price? Was he last week in a 30-runner field? He's quite a big price.
Yeah,
fifties.
You could have grabbed 50s.
Early on.
Yeah, I did. So I was annoyed actually because he had one good round, but I mean his ball striking wasn't there, and he missed a couple of really short putts on Sunday as well.
Don't that here, do you? Yeah, Matt Kuchar has got fantastic record.
He has, but he'll come tied seventh, so he'll just annoy you.
Not necessarily, but I don't think he's playing quite well enough, is he? He's
one of your most profitable golfers over the years, isn't he?
He's won some big events, Matt Kuchar. Well, in the last four times he's played here, he's been in the money three times, two fifths and a third.
Yeah.
So, but he's just not. I'd like to see him play a bit better, given he's 22-1. But he does absolutely love this event. Justin Thomas is interesting at 25s. I think he could have a really big year.
Yeah.
He was six here last year.
I thought Danny Lee was all right at 50s. Just because he played so well in the second half of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're nearly mentioning them all now.
Yeah, we've been through a lot of them now.
Can we then claim we've been through a lot of them now. Yeah.
Just before we recap the selections then, chaps, player you don't want to win this week, who came closest for you, Mike?
Chris Kirk, probably.
Yeah. I'd have to be with Peter Malnati, I think.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
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 Okay, let's recap it then. Joburg open for you first, Dave.
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Trevor Fisher Jr.,
at
25s, and then in the Sony I will go with Graham McDowell a point each way at 40s.
I'll play both my selections in the Sony, a point each way Russell Henley 33-1, point each way Mark Leishman 33-1.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on both of mine, Russell Henley and Ryan Palmer, which I wish I'd had more points on Jordan Spieth last week.
Yeah,
2.5 points each way wasn't enough considering how confident
you were.
No, that I was thinking about that.
Hopefully people will
take these points a bit more seriously.
Hopefully people will have read into your confidence and
But he was definitely more than twice, 2.5 times stronger than these bets, if that makes sense. So
well, people have staking plans.
They do. Yeah, but I'm going to pay more attention to my points because it needs work. Yeah, that needs work, I think. Point it each way on both of these. Yeah, they're both pretty. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you, chaps. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf, at M Grenham, at D Kellner, and myself, Dave, and Mike will be back for a debrief and to look ahead to next week's events from Tuesday onwards. So, looking forward to that immensely. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com, type in William Hill, and you can catch us on iTunes as well. Until next week, good luck with your golf betting with William Hill, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.